You know, I keep talking about it. I love our men's class, and I hear the ladies kind of getting with it. I hear the kids singing, and I would urge you to come to a class. Come to one of the classes and learn about the Lord. Some of the discussions we have, and then it leads into prayer about things, and we should be able to come to our brothers and sisters in Christ and confide in them about things we have going on in our lives. So I would urge you to come. We have a 8:30 prayer meeting on Tuesday. If you would like to be added to the list, I would say to probably get with Tom Bradbury or Deanie, my wife here, and they can add you to the list to get receive a call. They've been doing it on like a conference call thing, right? We have a properties committee at 6 p.m. on Wednesday, and then following that, we have a business and prayer meeting on Wednesday. So, without further ado.
Good morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. Amen. I rejoice with you all. We do have a birthday to recognize this morning, which will be tomorrow, and that is Evan Jones's birthday. Guys, he was already making his way up here. He's excited to come and be sung to. All right, Evan, we were discussing it. Some said 19, some said 20, some said 21. It's 20 years old. Congratulations. We thank the Lord He gave you another year. All right. Is there anybody that we have missed in the last few weeks that has not been up here to be sung to?
There was somebody I was thinking about that they didn't tell, and I was like, I can't remember
who it was.
And I'm not
telling
right now.
Yeah, they definitely ain't going to say anything right now. So, well, anyway, if there is somebody we missed, happy birthday to you all as well. But Evan, it's your day, man. Tomorrow. Let's go ahead and sing to him.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. And many more.
Amen. Well, we don't have any anniversaries to recognize, so at this time, Brother Josh will come up here and greet one another.
Well, good morning. Good morning. It's good to be in the house of the Lord today. I woke up yesterday morning, looked out my window, and overnight, my weeds are growing. Yard's starting to turn green. There's several flowers on some of the trees starting to bud out. I welcome that new life. The spring, the renewing of our flora and fauna. I'm so excited for that each spring, which usually means that the fish start biting a little better. Something to be excited about, but it got me to thinking, I hope that the Lord would refresh and renew each one of our hearts, just as He does in the springtime with the nature. Maybe He would do that this morning. As the Holy Spirit meets with us in this place and we worship the one true God. We have visitors this morning. Jared and Elise, welcome back. Shane Kassler, welcome. Gabe McIntosh, welcome. Your daddy. We have Kenton coming in here, welcome. And Naomi. And then we have Kenton's uncle. Doug and Lydia and Jubilee, Ryan and Billy, welcome back. Good to have you all back with us. And then Rod Jenkins is here this morning to worship with us. Welcome, brother. Good to have you. Am I missing anyone? Anyone else? All right. Well, greet one another and we'll continue our worship.
As you make your way back to your seat, would you please sit for just a moment? Brother Joel is going to share some words with us.
Good morning. The nominating committee has brought the church up to date with our church officers and our church committees. According to our bylaws, there are a couple of committees that we need to add a couple of more people to. But we're at the point now that we can move forward with the church appointing our pulpit committee to start searching for our new shepherd. Next Sunday, March 21st, we will start this process. Each member will receive a piece of paper, and you will write down five names from our church body. The five members that have the most votes will be asked to serve on this committee. If they do decline, we will move down the list to the next person that has the most votes, and so on. Please be in prayer for this time of life in our church. This is very important. We don't need to just get our friend or whatever on this committee. We need to search the Lord and ask Him to guide us and direct us in the will of His will, so we can get a committee together that will serve Him well and lead us to the person that God has for us. Okay? Thank you.
All right, we'll go ahead and begin our worship service with the word from the Lord. So if you will stand. For the last few weeks, we have been in Psalm 22. We'll be finishing that up today. Just a reminder that this has a title of The Suffering, Praise, and Posterity of the Messiah. This morning, we'll begin in verse 22, and we'll read till the end of the chapter. Says, I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, glorify him, and fear him, all you offspring of Israel. For he has not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, nor has he hidden his face from him. But when he cried to him, he heard. My praise shall be of you in the great assembly. I will pay my vows before those who fear him. The poor shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him will praise the Lord. Let your heart live forever. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before you. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he rules over the nations. All the prosperous of the earth shall eat and worship. All those who go down to the dust shall bow before him. Even he who cannot keep himself alive. A posterity shall serve him. It will be recounted of the Lord to the next generation. They will come and declare his righteousness to a people who will be born, that he has done this. We're going to start this morning on page 299. We're going to try to do a little echo thing here. The song is the victory chant. And I'm going to be our first group with the men. All right, men? So all you got to do is just follow me. Ladies, Kelly is going to lead you all on the keys over here. And you guys, what we're doing is we're just repeating. But I will say this. The second part seems a little bit funny. We were having trouble getting it together. So what we're going to do is it's going to run straight through. So, Hail Jesus, you're my king. You guys repeat, and then your life frees me to sing. We're just going to keep everything straight. So, men, you'll be with me. Ladies will be with Kelly. Hail Jesus, you're my king. Your life frees me to sing. I will praise you all my days. Perfect in all your ways. Hail Jesus, you're my Lord. I will obey your word. I see your kingdom come. Not my will, but yours be done. Glory, glory to the Lamb. You take me into your land. We will conquer in your name and proclaim that Jesus reigns. All right. I think we're going to try that again pretty soon. That way we can get it down. But I like it. You can go ahead and be seated. Brother Jim's going to come up here and lead us in a word of prayer.
Well, first off, I got to say, Claude, how you doing, buddy? He's watching on TV because he can't get to the church. The love that guy has for Jesus Christ is overwhelming. And his love is for the church. He can't be here because of his physical ailments. So pray for him. He's one of the deacons of the church, but he's a beautiful man. You know, this morning I want to emphasize something. Our commitment to what God has called us to do does not consist of coming to church on Sunday morning and the rest of the week we wait until we go to church again next Sunday morning. It consists of each day that we have time with the Lord. You know, Jesus said, "Seek me and you will find me." The way you seek the Lord is through His Son, Jesus Christ, and that's through the Word of God. And that's every day. When you make a commitment, you walk the aisle, you say, "Lord, I confess my sins, I turn everything over to You." And your commitment consists of once a week coming here. That is not a commitment. That's a false commitment as far as I'm concerned. When God calls us, we yield ourselves to His Spirit and we commit ourselves to do what God has called us to do. So think on those things. You know, it's not just a Sunday thing. It's not just a 2-hour thing Sunday morning, coming to Sunday school, going to church. It's a matter of a commitment every day. You know, there's a Psalm 51, latter part. 51 verse, Psalm 51:10, I believe. And David says, "Create me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." Each one of us can say that every morning when we get up. "Lord, just create a clean heart in me and renew a right spirit, that I might follow You in the things that proceed from my mouth and the actions that come from my body." So anyway, I kind of had that on my heart this morning, so I thought I'd talk about it. So anyway, you've been told, love Him for all He loved us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before Your throne this morning, Lord, praising You and thanking You through Your Son, Jesus Christ, who made all those things possible, Heavenly Father. You've opened our eyes, You've opened our hearts, Heavenly Father. If we yield ourselves to You, Lord, our whole body, our soul, Heavenly Father, we'd be willing workers, Heavenly Father, to follow You. And Lord, I pray this morning for the prayer requests that have been lifted up. I pray for Terry's brother, Lord, as he's going through a hard time right now. I pray, Heavenly Father, that You just give him peace and give him strength. And Lord, for all those that are going through trials right now, tribulations and loss and physical ailments, family members, Heavenly Father, that we pray for, that don't know You, we pray for those. And Lord, we pray for your church. We pray, Heavenly Father, that the decisions made would be pleasing to you through your Son, Jesus Christ. For we love you. We give you all the praise in your Son's name. Amen.
We'll be continuing on page 305 with our hymn of the month, which is You Are My King. I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. And I'm alive and well. Your spirit is within me because you died and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true, and it's my joy to honor you in all I forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. And I'm alive and well. Your spirit is within me because you died and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true, and it's my joy to honor you in all I. I honor you. You are my King. You are my King. You are my King. Jesus, you. You, my King, would die for me. Amazing love, I know it's true, and it's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you in all I do. I honor you. For our next song, we'll go to page 282. Ask ye what great thing I know. Ask ye what great thing I know that delights and stirs me so. What the high reward I win, whose the name I glory in, Jesus Christ the crucified. What is faith's foundation strong? What awakes my lips to song? He who bore my sinful load purchased for me peace with God, Jesus Christ the crucified. Who is life in life to me? Who the death of death will be? Who will place me on his side with the countless host of light? Jesus Christ the crucified. This is that great thing I know, this delights and stirs me so. Faith in him who died to save, him who triumphed o'er the grave, Jesus Christ the crucified. Amen. Next, we're going to go to page 223, and we'll sing Nothing But the Blood. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon, this I see, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing, this my plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can for sin atone, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not for good that I have done, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For our last song, we'll go to page 235. We'll sing When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my riches gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the death of Christ my God. All the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to his blood. See from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flowed mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown? Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a present far too small, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. We'll be picking up our offering after this prayer. Just to give you a heads up, the offering plates are over here by Deanie, and also at the back door or front door, whichever you look at it. But we'll go ahead and pray. Our Heavenly Father, we're just so grateful, Lord, that we can gather in this building today, your church, and worship you. We pray, Lord, that as the message is brought forth this morning, that you would open our hearts, give us ears to hear, eyes to see. Help us to leave here, Lord, changed. We thank you for Brother Josh and him bringing the message to us. We pray that you would hide him behind the cross. Give him the boldness to speak the truth and help him, Lord, to just, with no compromise, tell us exactly what we need to hear. We thank you for this opportunity to be able to collect tithes and offerings. We pray that you would bless it to the body of the church, that we may be able to take that and to further your kingdom, Lord, in the world. We just thank you for all you do, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
Well, last week in my opening remarks, I mentioned the good providence of God, and I'm going to mention it again. It's just I never can get over when we are able to see God's good providence and working in our lives. This morning, Jim, your comments were exactly where we're headed this morning in God's Word. Through the years, there's been times that the Sunday school lesson and then the songs that we sing and then the sermon that's preached is all ties together. And we need to recognize God working in the events of our lives. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose." I just want to encourage you to look for those times in your life that you see God's hand at work, and you need to tell your family about it. You need to tell your friends about it. It's not something that should remain a secret. We need to praise and bless the Lord when we see Him working in our lives. Between the songs this morning and Jim's testimony, and hopefully you will see how this message this morning ties in to everything that's gone on in this room so far. I hope and pray that the Spirit of God is at work in each one of our hearts and each one of our lives this morning. Our scripture reading this morning is in the 13th chapter of the book of Matthew. I'm sure some of you already had your Bibles turned to the book of James, and we will get there, but I'd like to use this passage in Matthew as a springboard into our study of the book of James this morning. So if you would stand in honor of God's word, and we'll read verses 1 through verse 23 of the book of Matthew. Matthew 13, 1 through 23, and it's the parable of the sower. Starting in verse 1. "That same day Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea, and great crowds gathered about him so that he got into a boat and sat down. And the whole crowd stood on the beach, and he told them many things in parables, saying, 'A sower went out to sow. As he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched. And since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear." The purpose of the parables. "Then the disciples came and said to him, 'Why do you speak to them in parables?' And he answered them, 'To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For to the one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance, but from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing, they do not see, and hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, "You will indeed hear, but never understand, and you will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it." Now the parable of the sower explained. "Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This was what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet has no root in himself. But he endures for a while, and when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word,
immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case a hundredfold, in another 60, and in another 30. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that you would divide it and teach it to us this morning. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear. Help us to apply this message to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. So as I said, I mentioned the parable of the sower last week, and I wanted to read it to you this week and use it as sort of a springboard into our lesson in James chapter 1. Before we get into where we're going in James chapter 1, let's just briefly review where we've been. So far, some of the main lessons that we have learned in our study of the book of James is that every single one of us are going to face trials and temptations in our lives. True faith responds to the trials and temptations of our lives with perseverance. We continue in the faith. That those trials and temptations that are met with perseverance cause us to become mature believers. We see them for what they are. Or in the context of the parable of the sower, notice that the rain fell on the just and on the unjust. The rain fell on the good seed and the bad seed. The difference is the good seed bears fruit because of the rain, and the bad seed dies. Mature Christians know that when we're tempted to sin, it's not God tempting us to sin, but rather our own desires. We are affected by the cares of this world. Every single one of us are affected by that. And sometimes we get distracted. And yes, sometimes we sin. But it does not destroy our faith. Today we're going to see James' next point, that true saving faith responds to God's word by listening to it and by doing what it says. So let's read James chapter 1, verses 19 through 27. And I have to confess, I was a little too ambitious when I had Jill print in the bulletin that we were going to get down to verse 25. We're only going to get through verse 21 today, but we'll go ahead and read verses 19 through 27 so you'll know where we're headed in the coming weeks. And you don't have to stand again. I've already had you standing far too long, I'm sure. Hearing and doing the word, James 1, verse 19. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your soul. Be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away at once, and at once forget what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit the widows and orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained from the world. I almost feel like we need to pray again. James starts verse 19 by saying, know this, my beloved brothers. He is saying, I want you to know that you know that you know that these things that I'm getting ready to say. And the reason that I want you to know them is because I love you. It's an incredible point that he wants to make, and he wants to be sure that they know him. And I believe he's speaking from his grave today to you and I saying, I want you to know this. I want you to know that you know that you know. I tell my kids that. You got to know that you know that you know in your heart of hearts that we love you, that we only want what's best for you, that everything that we're pouring into you is for your good. You've got to know that you know that you know that. And I believe that's what James is telling his readers of this letter. And I believe he's saying that to us this morning. Then he gives them three quick points. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. We have to be true to the context this morning. And we should understand this as quick to hear the word of God, slow to speak the word of God, and slow to become angry at the word of God. It would be easy to come up with some nice little jovial lesson this morning, taking God's word and turning it into some type of help, self-help program for you this morning on those three words. And we could talk at length about them. Some of the things that we could say about them would be true. But let's stay with the text this morning. And if you're sitting here thinking, oh, I was hoping for some type of life application sermon today that I could, that could help me in my daily life. And now he's just going to apply it all to God's word. Maybe you were hoping for some type of 12 steps to help me control my tongue and stop being so angry. Well, if that's what your mind is telling you this morning, just sit tight. Be patient. I've got good news for you. Because the hope that we have this morning, the hope that I'm hoping to share with you, is that God's way to help us in our daily lives is better than any self-help manual. It's better than any personal development program on the market. And it was true yesterday, and it's true today, and it's going to be true forever. We don't need to listen to the pop culture. We don't need to listen to the modern day psychologist. We have it all right here in God's word. Quick to hear. Now, this doesn't mean that after church today, when you hear someone telling someone else a story, you kind of hear a little tidbit, you're going to be quick to walk over and get the whole story. That's not what James is talking about here. So you, to hear the rest of it, what this means is that we're eager to hear God's word and God's will for our lives. Now, this book of James was written long before the printing press. They didn't have Bibles in every house. They had to meet and come together to hear God's word preached, God's word proclaimed. They met regularly to have the God's word read to them. So what James is telling them is that they need to seize every opportunity that they have to come and hear God's word being proclaimed. Does that message need to be said today? Is it still fitting in 2021? Do you need to hear it? Do I need to hear it today? Well, I believe we do. In the history of the world, it has never been more convenient to have God's word. Agree? You can read it anywhere, at any time. You can have it read to you. You can have it read to you by James Earl Jones, if you like. If you prefer a Scottish accent or an English accent, you can choose to have it read to you in a man's voice or a female's voice or a woman's voice. You can even choose to have background music being played to you as you're listening to God's word being read to you. You can choose a guitar being played. You can choose a piano being played. You can even choose to have a piano and a cello being played to you as you're listening to God's word being read to you. Now, our church uses an app called Sermon Audio. It's how we're able to send Claude and the rest of our homebounds the message live each Sunday. If they're all archived, every sermon that has ever been preached, as far as I know, from this sermon is on sermon audio. Okay, you can research it. You can go back and listen. Not only our church, but hundreds and thousands of other churches. You can, if you're struggling with the text in the Bible, you can research, you can scroll James chapter 1, verse 19, and you can get literally 50 to 100, sometimes 200 or 300, 8 pages of sermons from some of the best Bible teachers and preachers that walk on the face of the earth. And you can listen to those 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, whenever it's convenient. Literally, whenever it's convenient for you to listen. With all of these avenues, with all of these times and convenience of God's Word being proclaimed, you would think that worldwide revival would be taking place. I fear that with all these modern conveniences, most have determined that it's most convenient to fill our ears with what the world is selling and what the world is saying rather than what God is saying. In reality, the issue, our brothers and sisters, that James was writing to is the same issue that we're still having today. Because seeing, they did not see. And hearing, they did not hear, nor do they understand. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Do we realize what a tremendous gift it is to be able to hear and understand the Word of God? Do you see and appreciate and recognize the treasure that we have? The 66 books of God's Word. Maybe tomorrow morning when you're headed to work or school and you hit that seat button on your radio and you land on a station where God's Word is being preached. And I ask you, what's your initial reaction to that? Well, I've had two in my life, and I'll share them with you. The first one was to hit that seat button as fast as I can, because I've already been to church this week, and I don't need to hear another sermon. That was a long time ago. For the last 20 years, my ears have perked up to listen. And want to hear. I can't get enough of it. And please don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that I'm any more righteous now. I'm not any more righteous than you because I can't get enough of hearing God's Word being proclaimed. But I have an appetite. The more you hear, the more you know, the more you want to hear, the more you want to know. It's God's Word. It's living and active. Being quick to listen. That's what James is asking us to do this morning. James's next point is he tells them, be slow to speak. Now, I'm sure that we've all heard the saying that God gave us all two ears and one mouth for a good reason, right? The old adage is right. It's better to remain silent and to be thought a fool than to open up one's mouth and to remove all doubt. As I said earlier, the context is to be quick to hear God's Word being proclaimed, and it's to be slow to speak God's Word. Don't be quick to try to tell other people what you are learning until you're certain that you know. You need to be certain that you know that you know that you know, before you open your mouth and try to tell someone else how to live their life. That's why in the qualifications for elders in 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse, chapter 3 verse 6 is that one of the qualifications is that a pastor, elder, overseer should not be a recent convert or he may become puffed up with conceit and fall into the condemnation of the devil. Some other examples, my dad used to say of young married couples that were quick to give parenting advice. With the pitter-patter of little feet, a thousand words you will eat. You've seen that, right? We've seen that firsthand. When you're young and married, you've got biblical convictions. And when I raise my kids, I'm going to do this or that. And my kids are not going to do this or that. And then come the kids. And then, depending on the nature of those children, you're either confirmed in the fact that you are God's gift to parenthood, or you're humbled, realizing that it's not you, it's God. Another example that I thought of was, this has been a long, long time ago, Heidi's cousin Stacy told me he had recently quit smoking. He said, there's no one more righteous on the face of the earth than someone who just quit smoking. Well, they quit, so therefore everyone else in the world ought to quit. And if you want them to tell you how you can quit, just listen. They'll tell you. And it'll work for everybody, right? So the point is that we have to be careful about acting and talking like we have it all figured out. And now we have it all together. You just need to listen. It's like we're the savior of the world. But the best illustration that I can give you is to point back where we've been in James. After suffering trials, after suffering tribulations and the temptations of life, be quick to listen to God's word and slow to speak God's word. And the third point, slow to become angry. You know, it's part of our defense mechanisms that when someone points out that you've got a chink in your armor, that we sometimes get a little upset about someone pointing out that chink. Well, who are you to be looking at my chink in my armor? Well, you got chinks in your own armor. What are you doing looking at mine, pointing mine weaknesses out? And it is true. That's why God's word tells us in Matthew chapter 18 to remove the plank out of your own eye before you try it, so you can see clearly to remove the speck out of your brother's eye. And it may be natural to become angry when someone else points out a shortcoming. But James is telling us that when you get exposed by God's word, be careful to consider what God is saying to you, and you don't need to be getting angry about it. Why? He tells you why right there in verse 20, "For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God." MacArthur said this word anger in the Greek describes a deep internal resentment and rejection in this context of God's word. Do you know anyone like that? My mind went to people who say they're Christians, but they have no interest in the Bible. They have no interest in church. And they don't come across as angry at first glance until you push a few little questions on them, and then they expose their anger by saying things like, you know, there's a lot of inconsistencies in the Bible. I can't ever make sense of it, so I just give up and I don't read it. Ah, oh, that church, they're just a bunch of hypocrites up there. The anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. And then he tells us in verse 21, "Therefore put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls." Does your house have a mud room? I don't know what year it was, but builders started putting these mud rooms in houses. Sometimes they have stand-up showers where people can hose off before entering the rest of the house. Did you ever, when you were growing up, did you ever hear your mom say things like, "You kids get out of this house till you get them dirty clothes off. Don't come in here with those muddy shoes." Sometimes when I was a kid, we were denied access to the refrigerator or pantry for a meal or a snack because we had dirty clothes on. We had to get cleaned up before we were allowed to have something to eat. We had to take off those dirty clothes. That's what James is telling us, that before we humbly approach God's Word with meekness, before we receive the implanted Word of God, we need to take off our dirty clothes. We need to remove these moral vices. Do you see how these moral vices, these things that you know are sinful, and you just keep holding on to them, they have this tendency to keep you from hearing and applying God's Word. And that sin is acting like a thick earwax that's plugging up your ear canal that is making you deaf to what God is trying to say to you in your heart. Just as if your ears get plugged up with a bunch of wax, it can keep you from hearing. Do you think it's possible that if you are continuing to choose sin over God's Word, that sin is acting like that thick earwax and it's keeping you from understanding what God has for you? Maybe that's why the people Jesus was talking to, they had ears, but they couldn't hear. And they couldn't understand. James puts it this way. He says, put it away. Take it off. And receive with meekness the implanted Word, which is able to save your souls. In another passage in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, Jesus instructs His listeners to build their house on the rock. He says, "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell and the floods came and the wind blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." The wise man and the foolish man. I was thinking about that foolish man. You know, you think that foolish man thought, "How about I pull all my resources? How about I take all my life savings and get me a bunch of materials and just squander it by building it on a bunch of sand so that way when the floods come, it'll just wash it on down the creek?" He is foolish, but I don't think he's that foolish. I think he probably made him a list of everything that he needed. He may have hired a contractor to come and build his house. Make sure it's all square. Make sure it's all lined up. He probably used some good materials to build that house. He was deceived. Somebody told him that sand was a good place to build a house. What's your house built on this morning? If your house is built on your goodness, your self-righteousness, you obeying the law, I got news for you. Your house is on the sand. There's only one place to build a house, and that's on the solid rock, the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ. In closing, let's briefly return to our passage on the parable of the sower and see there's four possible counts that each one of us this morning are in. The first one, the first camp, is those of you that have never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life. The Lord has given you some good seeds this morning. Maybe He's putting His finger on your heart, convicting you of your sin and showing you your need of a Savior. I want you to know that we invite you to come. We're always willing to pray with you and answer any questions that you may have. Because look at verse 19 of Matthew 13. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. And this describes what was sown along the path. I just want to say to you, ask your questions. Let us open up God's Word to you and get you the answers that you need. If that's where you are, can stop building your house on the sand. It ends in destruction. Repent and believe. The second camp is maybe you've made a profession of faith, but you would say, my heart is like that rocky soil. Maybe you realize that your profession was an emotional decision that had no lasting effect. Look at verse 20. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the world, immediately he falls away. Your house is built on the sand, if that is you. I'm here to tell you this morning, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Stop playing church. Stop acting like you're something that you're not. The rest of us will receive you with open arms. We understand. You will reap what you sow. The third camp this morning is maybe you've made a profession of faith and you realize that you love the world and the things in the world, including money, more than you love God. Verse 22 says, and for what was sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. If that's you, your house is on the sand, and it's going to come down. I believe that all three of these first options, if that's you, you're on the broad road that leads to destruction. Repent and believe and be saved. Cry out to Jesus. He is mighty to save. He alone is mighty to save. As long as you have breath, there is still hope. And the fourth point, and I save the best for last, verse 23 says, and for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100, in another 60, and another 30. We see the diversity in God's people. Some people are gifted and are able to reap a greater harvest. Should you be upset? If you're only producing 30, Man, bless the Lord for fruit. If that's you this morning, I just want to encourage you as James did. You don't need to be born again, but you might need an attitude adjustment. Because we all do sometimes, don't we? Maybe you've come here this morning beat down by the world, beat down by your remaining flesh, or dare I say, beat down by the devil. That's the three things we struggle with. Let me encourage you to keep your eyes on the prize. Let me remind you from last week that if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we are His first fruits among all creation. The best is yet to come. Continue bearing fruit. Continue being faithful in the little things. Continue being faithful in the big things. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. He who has ears, let him hear. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we are humbled by your word. We are humbled by this parable of the sower. Father, if we're honest, we see a little bit of all of it in each one of us. Lord, we know that the only reason that we're able to stand before your throne is through the finished work of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we bless you for that. Lord, we bless you for our fellowship here. We thank you that we're consistently proclaiming the message of your truth, and we know that there's nothing good that lives in us. It's you living in us that gives us anything to stand upon. Lord, I ask that if there's anyone here that doesn't know you this morning, that this morning they would come to know you in a saving way and they would repent of their sins and believe on the finished work of your Son. I pray that you encourage us by your truth. Your word is truth, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
If you'll stand and turn to page 529. Change my heart, O God, make it ever true. Change my heart, O God, may I be like you. Change my heart, O God, make it ever true. Change my heart, O God, may I be like you. You are the potter, I am the clay. Change my heart, O God, make it ever true. Change my heart, O God, may I be like you.
If you would be seated for just 1 minute. Terry, a few weeks ago, came up to me and said, I'd like to become a member of this church. And that's right. Amen. Me and David had the opportunity to sit down with him last week, and he comes by promise of a letter from Golden Acres Baptist Church in Pasadena, Texas. Is that right?
Yes.
He's been saved and baptized, and he would like to join with us. What do you all say to that?
Amen.
All right. We make a motion that we accept him on promise of a letter from that church. David was the first. Can I get a second? All in favor say amen.
Amen.
Any opposed? There are none. Amen. It's good to have new faces in our church.
I'm glad to be here, folks. I'll tell you, when I walked in here, I guess it was 2.5-3 months ago, I felt something in my heart that I hadn't felt in a long time. And then some things happened, and I kind of visited a few times, and then something happened in my life where I heard you loud and clear.
Amen.
And I'm home.
Amen.
And I feel here, this is where I'm supposed to be.
Amen.
All right. If you would extend the right hand of fellowship to our brother Terry. And Mike, will you dismiss this in prayer?
Thank you.